two. Joel chapter 2. You read a verse over the book of Deuteronomy the other day, on Wednesday, I believe, about seeking the Lord. And the Bible said that in the book of Deuteronomy that you ought to seek the Lord with all your heart.
Yes, sir.
And with all your soul. And there's a way to do that. That's kind of what I want to look at this morning.
Good.
How do you seek God with all of your heart, with all of your soul? And to be honest with you, most of the time we're not half a quarter as serious is what we think we are about Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
If we knew we were going to have a bank account that said zero in it, we'd get very serious about getting some money.
That's right, Zach.
And if there wasn't any food in our groceries in the refrigerator, we'd get awful serious about getting some. And how serious would you get? Well, you might go rob a store. That's how serious you might get if you didn't have any groceries. If you got hungry enough, you might would kill somebody. That's how hungry people get.
Might kill my own brother.
But it's amazing how lightly we take Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing that when you don't try to live for God, you just play religion. You go about halfway like Saul did. Well, I'm going to go kill some of the Amalekites, but I'm not going to kill King Agag, and I'm going to spare the best. We demand that God give us everything we want. And immediately.
God help us.
But we don't take him very serious. We don't take his word very serious. Is it so serious that when you woke up this morning, the only thing you could think about was Jesus Christ? Is it so serious that whenever you went to bed last night, your thoughts were on him? Is it so serious when you eat that your thoughts are on him? Is it so serious when you drive down the road, your thoughts are on him? Is it so serious that, or is it so serious that I have to get on Facebook? Is it so serious that I have to make sure that I get something to eat? Is it so serious that all my thoughts are carnal?
Right.
That's about how serious we take Jesus.
That's good, brother. Sure is,
He's about serious as a joke. He's about as serious as a joke to us. We like to act like he is awful serious to us. Israel did it all the time. They'd have their solemn meetings. They'd have their feasts. They'd sit around and cry, and it was just a mockery of God. And God despised every second of it.
Sure did, brother.
Joel chapter 2. The Bible says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and the horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devour the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping,
yes,
and with mourning.
Yes,
and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. We find here in the very first verses that are read to you, verse 1 through 11, the judgment of God is in order here. The day of God's wrath. You know, if there's any one thing that's certain, one thing that's missing from preaching today, is that people fear God. People fear God. And you know, whenever God judges, he's number one, he's going to judge the secrets of man by that man, Christ Jesus. He's going to judge the secrets of man. We were listening to a preacher last night on the way, B.R. Lake, and he was preaching on the judgment of God. And he said, what if I took everybody's secrets and I flashed them up upon the wall? He said, that's what it's going to be like whenever God judges the secrets of man. The things that you don't want your wife to see, the things you don't want your husband to see, the things that you don't want your children to see, the things that you don't want your parents to see, the things that you don't want your pastor to see.
Yes, sir.
Those are the things that God's going to reveal to everybody. And God's going to judge the secrets of man. God's going to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what he's going to do. Whenever God judges people, we see the person that will do the judging. The Bible said that God hath appointed all judgment to the Son, and his eyes will be as a flame of fire, his hair as white as wool, his voice as many sounds of thunder, and his feet will be as brass. Brass is a picture of the judgment of God.
Yes,
and one day Jesus is going to march through the valley of Megiddo, and all those places in the Bible said that the blood's going to be up to the horse's bridle. And he's going to kill and slay, and he's going to kill and slay by the spirit of his mouth. And he's going to press them in the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. And ladies and gentlemen, whenever you stand before Jesus Christ, he said he came not to condemn the world, but the next time you see him, if you're lost, all that he's going to have for you is condemnation.
Condemnation, yes, sir.
And judgment and wrath. If you're not saved, and ladies and gentlemen, that's Jesus Christ. We ought to have an honest estimation of who he is.
Yes, sir.
He's holy.
Amen.
He's perfect.
Sir.
He's separate from sinners. He's undefiled. And he's God. And that's who will do the judging. We were over at that Jewish funeral not too long ago. They talked about the God that judges people. That Jewish, he started with all the names of God and everything else, the God that judges righteously.
Right.
God doesn't judge, you know, based on wealth. God doesn't judge based on the attitude that you have living this life. God's going to judge righteously.
Right.
That's how he judges.
Sure.
And ladies and gentlemen, the judgment of God is certain. You'll stand before a holy God one of these days. What's it going to be? We find over in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but we find a time when the blessings of God came upon Israel because they turned to God and they served God. David served God and obeyed God. He got all the false gods out of the land. They obeyed the commandments of Moses. And they turned to the Lord God for everything.
Right.
They prayed. They did the sacrifices that God had commanded them to do. They were obedient to the prophets and the priests of that day. They listened. They had an ear to hear. And they listened.
Sure.
God blessed Israel as a result. I want to say this because it's an example of the blessings of God being upon people. That the Queen of Sheba, she came into Israel, and at that time in Israel, the buildings had been built up, and I'm sure that many of the buildings, they had gold plated on them, and there was gold that was constantly being brought into Israel from all the surrounding countries, and with ships from Tarshish, being brought in from afar.
Yes, sir.
The apes and the peacocks were brought in, and the king's palaces was like a petting zoo almost. They had all sorts of animals, and they had all sorts of things going on. And the Queen of Sheba had only heard of the wisdom of Solomon and the beauty of Israel. And she came from afar, and she testified and said, there's never been a place in all the history of the world so beautiful. There's never been a place in all the history of mankind that was so right. There's never been a kingdom so powerful in all the history of the world. Why? Because they had God. They could defeat armies that they shouldn't defeat. They had so much wealth. People like David could have probably bought people like Jeff Bezos. The wealth of those men, according to the estimation of how much gold and silver was worth. Those men were extremely wealthy. Why? Because God had blessed them. God had blessed the kingdom of heaven upon this earth. God had blessed those men. Ladies and gentlemen, we find whenever they disobeyed God, they turned their backs upon God. We find the man King Ahab. Ahab was a wicked man. He is a wicked man, squatting upon the throne of Israel as a vile individual. Rebelled against God and married Jezebel, and Jezebel turned his heart against God, towards the gods of Baal and Molech and all the foreign gods of the foreign nations surrounding Israel. And they sacrificed their firstborn children and all those sort of things. And Ahab turned the people's heart against the God of Israel. Ahab was a vile man in so much that he took Naboth and his vineyard and killed him and slew his children so that they wouldn't inherit the vineyard.
Sorry.
He took, and you know what? He hated Elijah. He hated Elijah. He hated the man that told him the truth. Elijah never said anything good about Ahab. All the prophets never said anything good about Ahab. As a result, the judgment of God fell upon Ahab and all of Israel because of his disobedience to God and going after false gods and bringing in Sodomites and all the sort of things that they did. Disobeying the commandments of Moses. There came a time over in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 29 that after Ahaz was the king of Judah and Jerusalem, that Ahaz had brought so much destruction upon Israel that they were being defeated by little, tiny little armies and bands of independent militaries in the surrounding countries. No, people that should be defeating them are destroying them and taking hundreds of thousands of their citizens captive and leading them away to foreign countries and holding them as slaves. And God sent a prophet to tell them, you don't hold the Israelites as slaves. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says this, woe to them by whom the offenses come. There's times when God sends the judgment of God upon people. God will raise up evil leaders. Judas Iscariot and Pilate and all of them, they may not have had to do what they did, but they did it anyways, and the judgment of God's going to come upon them. God would have had to send somebody to do it. But woe to them by whom the offenses come. And woe to the person that sits around and takes pleasure when people drown in misery in the judgment of God. The Bible said that over, I can't remember which prophet it was, that God withdrew his judgment from a certain group of people because another group of people laughed and they scorned and everything else. And the judgment that was going to be placed upon those people was placed upon the people that laughed.
Yeah.
Why? It's a grief to God, my friend. It's a grief to God. Anyways, Hezekiah made things right with God. Number one, he opened again the house of the Lord. Number two, he called the priest and the people of Israel to sanctify themselves unto the Lord. And number three, they cleaned the holy place in the house of God again. They took the false gods out. They took the false gods out of the high places. They took the false gods out of the holy place in the tabernacle. And ladies and gentlemen, then the Bible said that they praised God. They turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord. Let me say this. I believe with all my heart that turning to the Lord, number one, is a fleeing from sin.
Amen.
It's a fleeing from sin.
God.
You can't have God and sin.
That's right.
You can't love sin and love God at the same time. You can't love your sin and love God at the same time.
That's right, brother.
You say, well, I'm doing pretty good. Well, you've deceived yourself.
That's what it says.
You've deceived yourself. I'm pretty good. I've never met a born-again Christian that thought that he was good.
Right. I thought I was till I got saved.
That's right, brother.
It's amazing. I was talking to Dell at his house, talking about the prison ministry, because there's people, I'm going to go in there and help them. I'm a good person. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to try to make them like me. I'm not no better than a prisoner.
That's right.
I ain't no better than a criminal.
Right.
If there's things I've done, if I got caught, I'd be in prison right now.
Yes, sir.
Most of you probably have too.
Right.
I'm better than a criminal. Well, you might be better than a criminal in the eyes of the judge. You might be better than a criminal in the eyes of mommy and daddy. You might be better than a criminal in the eyes of your brother, your sister, your husband, or your wife. What does God think about you? That's the only thing that matters.
That's right, bro. That's it.
That's the only thing. I'm better than a criminal. To who?
Right.
What are you judging that based on, my friend? Are you judging it based on the world's standards? Are you judging it based on what God Almighty thinks? God might think that there's people that are pretty good that deserve to burn in the hottest part of hell. The Bible said that he that knew his Lord's will and didn't obey, he shall be beat with many stripes. He that didn't know his Lord's will and didn't obey, he shall be beat with fewer stripes. Who's wickeder, my friend? It's he that knows better. It's he that's been given the truth. It's he that has the word of God. You wonder why the judgment of God has fallen upon the Jewish people in Israel the way that it has throughout the times of history? It's because they were given the covenants.
Right.
It's because they were given the prophets. It's because they were given the promises.
Right.
And they trampled it under their foot. They were given the Son of God and they trampled it under their foot.
Right.
The judgment of God's fallen upon them. Jesus
right.
said, if I had come, you'd have no sin. Their sin was multiplied because the Son of God was there. The judgment of God was multiplied upon them. Why? Because they knew better. Where much is given, much is required of thee. Well, who do you estimate it based on? I'm better than the criminal. I bet some of you in the sight of God, you'd be better off if you never heard anything. You'd be better off if you never heard anything.
Sure, that's right.
Sammy Allen used to say it all the time. He said, it'd be an awful thing to go to hell for red China. It'd be an awful thing to go to hell behind the Iron Curtain in Russia. It'd be an awful thing to die and go to hell from the jungles of Africa. How would you like to go to hell from a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church?
Yes, sir.
Be better if you went to hell from Africa. It'd be better if you went to hell from Russia. It's amazing. Let me say this. Turning to God is a fleeing from sin. Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible said this. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. And let me say this, if you don't believe that that we're under the judgment of God in America, then you've deceived yourself.
Yes, sir.
You've deceived yourself.
Right.
We're not under the blessings of God. We've got abortions at an all-time high, murders at an all-time high, writings at an all-time high. We're not under the blessings of God. We've rebelled against the holy God.
Yes, sir.
I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about the churches. You can't preach the truth in a church today if you can't preach the truth, it ain't a church.
Right.
It ain't a church. What is the church? It's the pillar and ground of the truth. If you can't crack open the Bible and preach the word of God, as thus saith the Lord, that ain't a church.
That's right, brother.
It's not a church.
That's right.
It's a social gathering.
Yes, sir.
If you can't preach against certain sins because you might offend somebody, and the preacher, he won't get up and preach against, that ain't a church.
That's right.
Bible said the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. You can preach everything, but against sin today. It's amazing. Brother Dale, you don't have to worry about being too hard here. If we get offended, it'll be because we're wrong.
Sure, that's right.
We're wrong. You don't have to worry about it. Just be yourself and preach. Hey. Just be yourself. I think you've been too nice anyway. It's about time to sink the plow and preach and blow some stuff out.
Hey, man.
Hey. Miss Amy, you ain't got to worry about that. You ain't got to worry about it. We don't care about the love of God. We don't care about that kind of stuff. Don't care about it.
I don't need it.
Turning God is a fleeing from sin. I need to just read what I'm supposed to read. The Bible said, why should you be stricken anymore? Verse 5. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint from the sole of the foot, even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been clothed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it. Your presence, it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been Sodom and likened to Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of your God, you people of Gomorrah. Oh, he was being real sweet, wasn't he? He called them a bunch of Sodomites. He called the Israelites Sodomites, the priests and the prophets, and all people of Israel a bunch of Sodomites and people of Gomorrah. That's what he called them. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of the lambs and of the he-goats. There's a picture of Jesus Christ. He said, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without spot and without blemish. What is God pleased in? He's pleased in a broken and a contrite heart.
Sure thing.
They were bringing all these offerings, but they didn't have a broken and a contrite heart over what? Their sin.
That's right.
The ox knows his owner, and the ass knows where his master's crib is, but we don't know where it is.
Right.
We don't know where it is. We know where our solution is. It's in the crib of God Almighty. Let me say this. God's got enough in the crib to feed us all and to bless us all, but we're dumber than an ass and we're dumber than an ox.
Right.
We don't know how to get to the solution. We don't want to get to the solution. Ladies and gentlemen, the ass wants something to eat. He goes on and paws on the door and he begins to cry. That's what the ass does, and the ox does the same thing, but we don't know how to do that today. The ox knows how to do it. The ass knows how to do it. We don't know how to go find our solution. That's what he's saying to Israel. We know that where the solution is. We need to knock on the door. We need to cry. We need to ask. We need to pray. We need to turn from our wickedness. He said, come now, let us reason. He said, verse 16, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. You don't know what it is to turn to God? Put away the evil out of his eyes. Where's his eyes? His eyes are in the secret place. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's in the secret place. He's out in public. He's everywhere. His eyes run to and fro, up and down in the earth. What are they doing? Seeing evil and good. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, listen. If you refuse and rebel, there's an opportunity to get right. There's an opportunity. But if you refuse and rebel, this is what the Bible said, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know what the sword brought? Death. If you refuse and rebel, he said, you're going to die. That's what he said. God gave him an opportunity to repent. Then God sent a sword to Israel. Nebuchadnezzar and his army surrounded Jerusalem and took him captive into Babylon. Not only is turning to God a fleeing from sin, turning to God is a denying of yourself. It's a denying of yourself. Matthew 16, 24. That would be a miracle. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Hey, you know what? That there's a positive side to that. There's a negative side to that. God's going to render to every man according to his works. The Bible said over in the book of Romans chapter 2, the Bible said this, despisest thou the goodness of God? For thou knowest not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his works. The Bible said this, indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's going to come, but you know what he said, glory, honor, and peace to every man that doeth good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For them by whom patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and peace, and eternal life. That's what they'll get. What are you seeking today? You seeking God? Are you treasuring up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God? Let me say this, turning away is a denying of yourself. So denying of yourself. He said, he that cometh after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We live in a selfish society today. We can't even think of our children before we think of ourselves. Can't think of our spouse before we think of ourselves. And how in the world are we going to think of someone we can't see before we think of ourselves?
God help me.
Self-centered society. Think of me. Most people today, they get saved because of me. I shouldn't have to go to hell. I don't deserve to go to hell. That's how most people's mindset is. You can go listen to it on the internet. I thought about putting it on Facebook. That preacher, he preached on 10 shekels and a shirt. He said, why do you get saved? For the glory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why you get saved.
Sir.
That's why you preach. That's why you have a ministry. That's why you win people to Jesus Christ. Not so that people can necessarily have an easier life.
That's right, bro. Yep. I don't deserve it. He does.
There's been people down through the pages of history, they got saved, their life wasn't any easier.
Right. That's right.
You might be hated of men if you get saved. You might be hated of your family if you get saved. You might be rejected by everybody you know if you get saved. You might get mocked and ridiculed if you get saved. You might get burned at the stake if you get saved. You might get shot in the head if you get saved. You don't ever know what will happen in this world. All those things are things that have happened. That picture back there on the back wall above the door, that preacher that preached, there's... The reason why there's Baptist churches all over the South is because that church right there, God used that church. Shubal Stearns, he got saved under George Whitfield. They took that man in that back window behind the pulpit. And the British soldiers, they'd take and they'd hold one side of his feet and his face would be on the other side. And his congregation had to sit there at gunpoint. They would take the end of their guns and they'd beat him in the face while he was preaching. Was his life any easier? No. Was his life better?
Yeah. Thank God.
Life was better. Why? Because he had a treasure in an earthen vessel.
Amen.
He had the glory of God in his soul. He had the peace of God. Let me say, I'm off subject, but turning to the Lord is a denying of yourself. Denying of yourself. Earthly pleasure. Pleasure seekers are never satisfied. Are you satisfied yet? People aren't satisfied. People are never satisfied. People in this world aren't satisfied. If you get a yacht, you gotta have a bigger yacht. If you get a boat, you have to have a bigger boat. If you get a house, you need a bigger house. If you have a nice car, you need a nicer car. Doesn't matter what it is, and You're never satisfied with anything you have. When the newness wears off, the excitement's gone. You have to have something better. You have to have something bigger. That's the way dope is. If you get some marijuana, you need something stronger after a while, because marijuana just don't do it anymore. You might need to take a pill, then the pill don't do it anymore. You might need to take a bunch of them, and then after a bunch of them don't do it anymore, you might need to take some heroin or some meth. Or next thing you know, there's people out there that are doing this alligator stuff that came out of Russia that turns your skin like the skin of an alligator. And it rots your flesh off of. Why? Because it's never satisfied. Never satisfied. Jesus satisfied. The Bible said that there was a woman, she came to the well, and she wanted a drink of water. Jesus said, if you drink of this, you shall thirst, but if you drink of the water that I should give to you, you'll never thirst. Mm-hmm. You know what? She drank of the water of Jesus Christ. The Bible said she never thirst.
Hallelujah.
Never thirst. She went and told, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Come see a man that told me all. People have a problem with women preaching or whatever else. I don't have a woman going out and giving her testimony, talking about what Jesus did for her. I know, man. He'd get awfully mad. Well, that's not her place to go around and tell people. Well, God didn't have a problem with it.
Sure did.
He didn't have a problem with it. By the way, if a man don't do it, somebody's got to do it. You look at Sammy Allen's church. You know who started Sammy Allen's church? It wasn't a man. Man didn't start Sammy Allen's church down there in Fairmont, Georgia. It was a lady that did it. It's a lady that did it. She knew God. That's something.
Yeah,
it's amazing. God will use a woman just as much as he'll use a man. God will use a young child just as much as he'll use an adult. But a turning to God is a denying of yourself. You have to deny yourself. Turning to God, not only is it denying of yourself, but it is a believing in God's word.
Right.
Believing in God's word. What his word says about you. What his word says about salvation. What his word says about holy living. What his word says about your life. What his word says. And you responding to what his word says.
Right.
Is his word everything to you? To be honest with you, we've heard enough preaching this week. I mean, what else do we need to hear? What else do you need to hear? Seek the Lord. Are you seeking? Are you seeking the Lord? I mean, not like what we think seeking the Lord is. I mean, there's nothing in our heart that's more important than Jesus. Nothing in our heart. I'm not talking about in your thinking. Oh, Jesus is number one. Well, in your actions, does that show? Do you spend more time reading the Bible than you do anything else? You spend more time reading the Bible than you do Facebook? Do you spend more time reading your Bible and thinking about him, meditate? Do you think more about Jesus than you do carnal things? Do you think more about Jesus than you do money? Do you think more about Jesus than you do anything else in this world? It's the reality of it. Do you talk to him more than you talk to anybody? Is he number one? Is there something in your heart that's a little bit more important? That's about being nigh to him, being near to him.
Yes.
Paul, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and thy mouth, which is the word of faith which we preach. Jesus is nigh.
Sure.
We don't want to be nigh to him.
That's right. That's the problem.
He said if you draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you.
Right.
What is it in here that's more important to you than Jesus Christ? What is it? I read oftentimes about people in the past because I don't see a whole lot today in churches, so get some encouragement reading about things how they used to be, which is sad. But there used to be a time when Jesus Christ really did things to people. There used to be a time when Jesus was everything to people.
Right.
There used to be a time And you know what? If you're going to do that today, you're going to be a fool to people. You're going to be a fool in this world.
Yeah.
You're going to be a fool to people. That's why I said it may not be easier. You're going to be awfully foolish to people if you believe this Bible. I mean, believe it. But you know what, people? The difference between them and us is they believed the Bible. When I listened to Percy Ray preach, he didn't preach Greek. This is what this word is in Greek. No, you know what he did? He opened it up. God said, this is the will of God that you abstain from fornication. You know what he preached on? He preached why you shouldn't fornicate.
That's right.
Well, fornication really isn't, you know, what we said it is. In the Greek word, this is what it really means. So you know what? You can go out as long as you're not, you know, whatever people come up with. You can find some. That's what people do. They rationalize everything to fit their little mold of what they think Jesus ought to be.
That's right.
They didn't do that back then. They said, this is what it says. This is what it says. This is what it says. And they just said it. And they said, thou shalt not steal. You know what they did? They just preached on steal. Well, the Greek word for stealing is this. No, they just preached against stealing. You know what God did? He manifested himself. Sammy Allen, he's done it for, he mocks it. He is like, this word in the Greek means this, and it means in the Japanese, this, and it means in Russian, this. That's what he used to do. When you look it up in the Greek, it says, you shouldn't steal. When you look it up in Japanese, the Bible says, you shouldn't steal. When you look it up in African, it means, don't steal. It means exactly what it says. It ain't that hard. It ain't that difficult. It's amazing. Turning to God is believing what His Word says. Is what His Word says. What about what His Word says about you? What about what His Word says about you? Isaiah chapter 1 through 5, he said, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them, and that sin, as it were, with a carved robe. Woe unto them that stay in, tarry at the wine until they're inflamed. Woe unto them, and he goes, and woe. Then you know what? When God manifested himself to Isaiah, he said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people with unclean lips. That's what he said. He went looking at everybody else. He said, there's something wrong with me, when he saw God for who God was.
Right.
Something wrong with me. Why? I'm a man of unclean lips. What he said, named the angel came down with a coal of fire and touched his mouth. The Lord said, who can I send? Who will go? He said, Lord, send me. Here I am. You know what? Responding to His Word. Responding to, not just hearing it, but responding to it. Responding to it. Turning God's Word, ladies and gentlemen, turning to God is making yourself ready to receive the Word of God. Making yourself ready. Making yourself ready. Seed by the wayside. That's where a lot of the preaching goes today.
Right. Yes.
People already come to church with a preconceived notion in their heart that they're not going to change.
That's right.
They're not. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't care what God says. They're not going to change.
That's right.
And you know what? They get their way.
They get it.
They get their way. And you know what? I learned a long time ago. I do need to change. I need to change every day.
Amen.
If you're saved, you still need to change.
That's right.
You need to progressively be like Him, conformed to the image of His Son.
That's what it says, brother.
Every day you need to be more like Him. You need to change.
Sure.
People come with preconceived idea. I don't need to change. I tell you what, if God don't get in my home, there's no telling where my little girl will end up.
Sure thing, brother.
Yeah.
There's been men far better than me whose daughters turned out to be whores and harlots and pornography and all sorts of things.
Right.
Men far, far better than me. Ron, you look at Ron Williams. Look at what his son did. Men far better than me.
Yes, sir.
If God don't get in it, my little girl will be in a mess. Yours will too.
That's right, preacher.
Yours will too. She's awfully sweet right now. My little angel. She's awfully sweet right now. When opportunity and desire come together, there ain't no telling what they'll
That's
do.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, help
us. What about the seed that still fell on stony ground? You know how to make your hard heart? Your heart hard. Sin will make your heart awfully hard.
Yes.
Sin will do that. You know what? I'm just going to say this because I've thought about it time and time again. It almost seems like there's a culture in our church and in other churches that because nobody else is responding, I don't have to respond. Because nobody else is doing what that says, that means I don't have to. You know, there's been things that have said in here that if we did it, it would be enough to change everybody's life. We've heard more than what people in the 60s got to hear. I mean, just as much. 50s, 40s, 1800s, 1700s heard just as much, if not more. Thing is, we think in our mind we can just overlook it and not have to respond, not have to do what it says. And we've hardened our heart. You've said it. We've hardened our heart to it. And we've done it so long that it doesn't bother us. Done it so long that it doesn't bother us. Bible said to tell people about Jesus. Do you do it? Do you do it? Why? Because it's just words. It's just a theory to you. Just a theory. Bible said pray without ceasing. It's just a theory. People don't do that. Why? It's just a theory. It's just a theory to... It's just, most of us are just about like a bunch of atheists. An atheist can look at this King James Bible and say, yeah, that's in there. That's in there. That's what it says. And they live just like we do.
Yeah.
That's what we know that's what it says. And an atheist can sit there and argue, yeah, that's what the King James Bible said. But they don't live a word of it. All it is a theory to them.
That's right.
All it is a theory. You know what it is for most of you? It's just a theory. It's not reality to you. Just a theory. The Word of God is just a theory to you. Jesus is just a theory to you. But you need something more than a theory. We need that living Christ. We need that touch of God in our lives. We need the presence of God in our lives. We need the presence of God in our home. We need something more than just something we can talk about and say, well, yeah, that's what it says. Is it real to you today? Is it something that you live with? Is it something that's your life? Jesus is your life if you're saved. If you're obeying His Word, He's your life. He isn't just some theory. He's reality to you. And He reveals Himself to you.
Sir.
Seed fell on stony ground. Seed fell among thorns. What is that? The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this life. You got to get rid of all those things. You got to get rid of all of that. My main concern, what's your main concern? Is it pleasure? Is it entertainment? Is it riches? What is your main concern? Seed among thorns. Then there was the seed that fell upon the good ground. I want to read. I've gone too long. I'm sorry about that. Now I'm apologizing. I ain't apologized before, but I want to read this chapter again. I'm talking about turning to the Lord.
It's good.
How do you prepare your heart? How do you prepare your heart? You got to get in the Word of God. You got to get in a prayer closet somewhere.
Right.
This is what it said. Something that people are, this is foreign to us today. It used to be more popular. It used to actually go on. Now it's just a joke, and if you did it, people would look at you like you're crazy. Treat you like you're crazy. This is what it says. Therefore also now, Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, You said something about people fasting from Facebook. It's really just kind of a sickening little joke. I have to give up something that, you know, it's some silly little thing. That's what people consider fasting. That's really just kind of a joke.
Right.
But I take that. That's not fasting, though. That's not fasting,
right?
Fasting is doing without food. If you want to fast for a day, do without food for a day. When things would happen in Israel, they'd fast for a week or 2 weeks.
That's right.
Whenever a man of God would die, the people that knew God, they'd fast for 2 weeks.
Sure.
You know what they used to do in America? Whenever they wanted God to move, they'd fast till God moved.
That's right. That's right.
They just fast until it broke out. People got saved. And you know what happened? They started building onto the bars.
Yeah.
The dope houses started compiling in the cities.
Oh, boy.
Nah, they shut all the bars down. Percy Ray, he preached out in Tennessee. You know what? It's a funny thing. There was a bar there, a big old honky-tonk, where about 300 people would show up on Friday night. You know what they did? In a revival, they built onto it. You know why? Because they turned it into a church. They built onto the bar, became a church.
That's what happens.
Why? People fasted.
Certainly.
Get God's attention. It'll get God's attention. Fast. You know what he said? And with weeping. And with mourning, let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy be turned to heaviness. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Jesus humbled himself, made himself in the form of a servant, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You know what happened? God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Humble yourselves, therefore, underneath the mighty hand of God. He'll lift you up. Yeah, that's right. Under the mighty hand of God, he'll lift you up. Weeping and mourning. Rend your heart. Rend your heart and not your garments. Have a broken and a contrite heart. And turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and a great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Listen, he said this, who knoweth that he will return and repent? Who knoweth? You know what? God don't have to.
Right.
He don't have to.
Right.
I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 8. And I'm done.
Good boy. Yes, sir.
When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Hey, I wonder if we're as excited about Jesus as some of them were.
Yeah.
He's a burden to us. That's what I'm saying. He's a burden to us. I have to drive an hour and a half. We'll try walking about 100 miles. That's what some of them did. 20 miles. They'd walk miles to be where Jesus was. They walked miles to be where Jesus was. What was the lady with an issue of blood? They were all around Jesus. They thronged him. The crowd thronged him. The Pharisees were there. All kinds of people were there thronging Jesus. But you know what? Only one woman got his attention. Only one woman in the crowd got his attention. He said, "Who touched me?" The disciple said, "With Jesus? The crowd's thronging you. There's a lot of people touching you." He said, "Yeah, there's a lot of people thronging me, but there's not too many people touching me. Now they need the issue of blood. Said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." By the touch the hem of his garment, what do you say? She was desperate enough. She was desperate enough. Jesus was all that she had. Jesus was all that she wanted. Jesus was all that she needed. Jesus was the only hope. Jesus was the only thing that could do what she needed. Ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He believed that Jesus could. "Jesus, if you'll have mercy on me, you can make me clean. You're able to do it." You're able to do it. And you know what? Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the roadside begging there in Jericho. As Jesus left Jericho, he entered into Jericho. So the Bible said, why? Because those two cities called Jericho, they were beside of each other. Two cities called, as Jesus left Jericho, he went into Jericho. And there was a man by the roadside begging. His name was Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He was blind from his youth and all these things. You know what? He was desperate enough. I imagine he heard the stories about the lepers being cleansed. I imagine he heard about other blind men that received their sight. I imagine that he heard about the woman with the issue of blood. I'm sure he heard about the woman at the well. I'm sure he heard all these stories. And one day he might have heard some commotion going through the town. Jesus is going to be coming through Jericho. I imagine whenever he heard the footsteps and the crowd was thronging and everything else, he sat there in his blindness on the roadside begging, and he heard the crowd thronging Jesus, and he cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples said, you need to calm down a little bit. You're not intellectual, blind Bartimaeus. You need to be a little bit more intellectual about this thing. You need to be a little bit more reserved. You need to calm down a little bit. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't caring about what the disciples and the religious crowd said. Jesus was his only hope. Jesus was his only help. Jesus was the only thing that could help him. He got desperate enough. He's all and all to him. I'm done. Turn into him. Turn into him. Rend your heart and not your garments. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. God, I pray that you'd touch our heart. Touch my heart today. Help me to be obedient to your word. Dear God, I pray that you'd show me, everybody in here, dear God, what is it in our hearts, dear God, that keeps us from being everything that we ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, there's things we want to hold on to, and little weights and little sins and all these little things. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us today. Dear God, that you'd help me. Dear God, that you'd be as real to us as the flesh on our bones. God, that you be as real to us, dear God, as the breath that we breathe. God, that you be as real to our little children, dear God, that they see Jesus in us. God, help us today. God, that this world would see Jesus in us. God, that we'd have something to offer this world other than words. God, that we'd have something to offer this world, God, other than just a religion. God, that we'd have a living Christ, dear God, that people would see in us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.